Hey guys, we're back with episode 5 of our level 2 fieldwork mini series. This is our second to last episode in this series, and I honestly can't even believe that we are almost to the end. At this point, our students have completed week 9 to week 10, and there is just so much going on. If you haven't already, go back and take a listen to the first 4 episodes of this mini-series to give you guys a little bit more of a picture of what's been going on so far. If you've already listened to them, then let's dive right into this episode and unpack everything that the students are going through with only a few weeks left of their first level 2 experience.
If you're interested in occupational therapy, this is the place for you. This show aims to explore our profession by sharing who we are and what we do. Because for us, occupational therapy is more than just a job. Hi, I'm Sarah. Welcome to OT for Life.
All right, so welcome back to the show, everybody, and all of our listeners. We are now doing episode 5 of our fieldwork series. And we have our returning guests, Rochelle and Maya.
Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing well, surviving.
I get a little hesitation in your voices here.
We're pushing through.
Yep, we're in those last few weeks, so caseloads have gone to the max, and just kind of trying to keep going, keep moving.
Yeah, it's definitely the home stretch, right? Yeah. Just a couple more weeks to go. Last time we met, we were talking about the midterm, everything that kind of happened with the midterm and expectations and things you're doing well, areas that you need to kind of continue to grow on. And now it is, like I said, it's the home stretch. You guys are there. You just got to kind of pound it out for the next couple weeks. Keep learning and then just keep kind of cruising where you're at. So why don't we start by maybe if you guys could highlight or kind of explain what your typical day is looking like and what your current expectations are, being that you are week 9, week 10, right at the end. What does that look like?
So I have about roughly 6 to 8 clients a day. So I'm at my site for maybe 10 to 11 hours, and this includes treating on top of doing my notes at the end of the day. Sometimes I'm at my site when there is one other person in the building.
Another student?
Another student, yes. Another student. Because I know if I go home, I might just lay on the couch and it'll be hard to get me back in that mode. So I do my notes and try to treatment plan for the following week while I'm there. So I'm at my site for about, honestly, 10 to 12 hours a day.
And previously, you were like 8-ish?
8.
9?
8.
8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So my expectations are to treat, to talk to parents, and to write the notes. I'm actually putting my notes into our online database now. So I used to send them to my CI, but now I'm putting them straight into the database, which is cool. It's nice to do that. I have my own login and it's really cool to do that. So that's kind of what my day looks like. And even when I get home, I continue to do work. I treatment plan until I go to sleep. So I treatment plan. So if it's Monday, I don't want to go to sleep unless I finish my treatment plans for the following Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much like a week ahead.
I try to be, yeah.
Allegedly or to be. And how much time now would you say that you're spending once you get home?
Honestly, I probably spend an additional 2 to 3 hours. So this is give or take. Sometimes I'm sitting down, I might eat in between or maybe like watch a TV show sometimes, right. But maybe 3 additional hours once I get home.
Okay.
And then I go right to sleep and I wake up and I do it all again.
And Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what about you, Rochelle?
My day looks pretty similar. I'm there also Monday through Friday. I wake up, you know, at 6. I get into the clinic about 7:45, start treating 8:30, done by 4:45, and then I'll either stay and do notes for a little bit or I'll go home and do my notes. And it's kind of the same thing as my, pretty much stay up until the notes are done and the plans are ready for I get all my people on Fridays for the next week, so I can't really stay a week ahead, but I try to be, so if it's Monday, have my notes done for that night, be planned for Tuesday, and try to get at least half of Wednesday, if not all of Wednesday, done. So I try to stay like a half day at least ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more challenging to stay further ahead, but I try to keep up. That way I'm not, by Thursday, staying up till 1 a.m. or something. But
right.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. So I'm expected to treat patients throughout pretty much the whole day. I've been doing progress notes, I think, since the midterm, but now I'm doing some initial evals as well, so that's a little bit more challenging, and mm-hmm. so I feel like I'm kind of at the max level, and I've got about 7-8 patients a day,
okay,
which and 8 will be my max, so.
And as far as, okay, so it sounds like 7 to 8, it's between 6 and 8 clients for each of you guys a day, mm-hmm. and how many either initial evals or reevaluations and progress notes would you say roughly estimated per week?
So the amount of progress notes I'm doing, it kind of varies based on week. I'd say normally I would do 2 progress notes a week. We've gotten more evals coming in. So maybe 1 eval a week, maybe not even. But there was 1 week kind of with the way that Medicare lines up where every, 10th visit you have to do another progress note or over 3 months or what have you. So a lot of times when people start in January with Medicare, they kind of have to do a progress note around April. So then in July comes that second prescription expiring, or at least that's how it worked in this clinic. So there was 1 week where I did, I don't even know, I think it was 6 or something like that. It ended up being a lot just because a lot of people's Medicare prescription was expiring, or even private insurance might have been expiring because you tend to do 12 weeks of therapy. What people tend to write their prescriptions for, in this setting at least. And so then that was kind of where that 12 weeks came up again, and right. I had to do quite a few. But now it's looking nice for these last few weeks. I only think I have, maybe 1 or 2 a week.
Okay.
Looking at people's prescriptions, mm-hmm. so, because I'm kind of trying to stay ahead of that and know when people's prescriptions are expiring. So I think that I'll have to do maybe 2 or 3 per week until I'm done. So okay. It'll be a little less hectic
right.
than that 1 week.
Yeah, I think the reason I ask is because I tend to always have a bunch of evaluations mm-hmm. And progress reports where I'd say that my average is probably like 5.
Okay.
Per week.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little bit more, sometimes I don't have any, but currently, yeah, I'm doing about 5 either reevaluations or intake evaluations per week, which is crazy. Yeah.
Definitely. And it's easier to plan for those progress notes or evaluations, but it takes more time on the documentation end. So it kind of is pick and choose.
Right, exactly. I wanted to kind of go back for a second because, Maya, you were saying that you're kind of planning a week ahead.
Yeah.
And, Rochelle, you're saying you're planning a day and a half, maybe, a day to 2 days ahead, kind of. And I know in my setting that we have a lot of cancellations and we have a lot of reschedules. And I'm curious to get your take on, is that happening? Where, you plan and then all of a sudden you're not seeing that kid that day and, how you make adjustments for that on your end.
Yeah, that has happened where there's a cancellation. But usually when there's a cancellation, there's another kid that's like plugged into that time. So I have had to be flexible and just treat another kid who I wasn't planning on treating. And that actually was like a good test for me because I had like some things in my back pocket that I can like throw in, and I already knew what they were working on, so I was able to like jump in and treat them.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, is this a kid that you've been familiar with,
yeah.
but just maybe not one that you would plan for that day?
Yeah, so I hadn't planned for him, but I was familiar with him, so it was, I'm not gonna say easy, but I was able to, I was able to jump in and just do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in my site, we have a lot of cancellations, a lot of times, just because of, due to the setting, it's outpatient neuro. A lot of people have a lot of doctor's appointments, or a lot of times people are getting sick or not feeling well, or that happens quite often. So we do get quite a few cancellations, or people show up a lot later. And usually what we try to call people to get them to come in and try to get people plugged into different spots. Or if we have somebody that is able to stay part of their plan or whatever, then ask them, would you like to stay for a double session for today? There's a couple people that we can do that with, but it's a lot. It's sometimes it's calling and just having, asking somebody else, oh, I see that you're not on the schedule for the week. Would mm-hmm. you like to come in, you know, tomorrow afternoon? Or we try to plan earlier in the week. If we see on Thursday that, oh, there's no one coming in all Thursday afternoon, on Monday, looking to see who isn't coming in for the week and calling them and say, hey, do you want to, are you available to come in on Thursday? So it's like a lot of case management part on mm-hmm. our end, trying to make sure that the schedule gets full. But if there's a cancellation, then it's a little bit nice because I can just use that plan in the future. So
let me ask a little bit more about that. So if you get a cancellation that day, are you ever getting a client or a patient that's coming in that you did not have time to plan for and that you're unfamiliar with?
Not somebody that I would be unfamiliar with. Pretty much everybody that's come in, I know them.
Okay.
At this point, because we have the same people there that are either twice a week, or once every other week. So at this point in time, I've seen everybody and know everyone. And usually evaluations are scheduled a little bit further in advance, just because that's usually how it goes. People will schedule that. But my supervisor will have me treat that person if they get added on. Hopefully I have kind of an idea of something I can do with them. I don't think it's happened yet. I think that if we've got plugged somebody in, it was because they had canceled, maybe they canceled earlier in the week and then they got plugged in on that day. And so I've already had the plan for them right. that I was planning to do on Monday, but say then it comes Wednesday and, oh, they're going to come in later today. But I already had that plan for Monday when they canceled. So I haven't had to completely do something on the spot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds like that's what's happening with
yeah,
you as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe I just wasn't prepared to treat them that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing where you're completely caught off guard.
Right.
And no idea what they do. Yeah. Okay. Because I can see that being a big challenge.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, wait, who is this person? I haven't had time to plan mm-hmm. for it and all of that. And
right.
even when you feel like you do have time to plan, and then all of a sudden it's like, ah! Mm-hmm. What's going on?
No, luckily that has not happened.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys have a lot of work.
Definitely.
I mean, yes. To be honest, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Adding up, Maya, kind of what you said, 15 plus hours a day that you are invested in this experience, and probably outside of that, you're still thinking about things.
I'm still thinking about things, and I also am going to like the 99-cent store and still like walking around and seeing what I can get. So it's outside of these hours, I'm spending a lot of time putting time and energy into my experience. So
mm-hmm. I think the big thing to mention here too is that mental energy. You know,
yes.
like physically when you're there and you're working and you're doing your documentation, you're working with your clients, you're talking with your supervisor, you're talking with the other professionals, like everything that you're doing at work and then everything that you're doing for work at home. But then that time that you're actually spent thinking about it when you're not physically doing it, but you are thinking about it and you're using that mental energy to really reflect on what's going on, plan for, maybe try to make sense of something that mm-hmm. happened that you're like, you know, why did my client react that way? Or why didn't that go as well? Or why did that go as well mm-hmm. that it happened?
I am always thinking about field work. I think the only time that I'm not is when I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I'm dreaming about
it. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you probably still are dreaming.
I honestly am, and I do feel bad. I think it's like unfair sometimes to be around my fiance or family, and I'm not present. I honestly mm-hmm. do feel like a lot of the time my mind is just going a million miles per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that after every day you're physically exhausted, but also so mentally and emotionally exhausted just from treating all day. And then getting home, I feel the exact same way mm-hmm. that I'm just, even if I'm done for the day, and I'm still thinking about it. I'm still thinking about field work, about what could I do for this next person? Or, oh man, what am I going to do for this person next week? I've kind of used all my ideas for mm-hmm. them. I don't know, what's a new goal we could work on? Have they done this before? Have they done that before? And then same thing too. I try to give myself Saturday afternoons to chill and do something, but I'm still thinking about it. So half of me is kind of just like, oh, I'd rather just go plan and that way I can get more done, but I know I need to take time and not do it, but still at the same time you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So
I even have like a bank of ideas. I have like a document in my laptop because like things just come to my mind, so I just write it down.
In terms of fieldwork responsibilities?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So even if I've already planned for my Monday kids, if something else comes in my mind for another idea, I'll write it down for like the following week, like bank of ideas for so-and-so. And I just am always thinking.
I think that's a really good kind of actionable tip right there, mm-hmm. of like when you're thinking, and now that you say that, I do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I'll usually leave like a little notepad by the side of my bed. It sounds ridiculous, but it works. And then I also use a little notepad on my phone. Mm-hmm. And when I think of something, I just jot it down. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to spend an hour trying to fall asleep, but stewing that I don't want to forget this idea.
Yeah.
I just write it down. And I do that for personal things too, mm-hmm. not even just like work related. But then I can come back to it and be like, oh, that was a great idea. Or maybe not. Or actually, yeah, like I like that idea. Let me expand on it or let me change it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great tip. Again, going back to that mental energy of like you're already extending yourself so much. Jot it down. Come back to it later. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you don't have to spend unnecessary time trying to remember it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bank of ideas.
Yes.
It's no longer Bank of America. It's Bank of ideas. Bank of OT ideas. And so I feel like this really is just a nice kind of segue into self-care.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and how much time you're spending focused on your work, mm-hmm. your expectations, your roles, everything that you're doing for field work as a student and everything like that. But at some point, you have to be able to take care of yourself as well. Everyone says you can't take care of other people mm-hmm. if you're not taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so are there things that you guys are finding that you're able to do, even if it's short, mm-hmm. And maybe not the quality that you want to be mm-hmm. doing, but anything? I know, Rochelle, you had mentioned just taking Saturday afternoons. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of your time to just chill out. Mm-hmm. You know, relax, mm-hmm. try not to think about it, even though I know you are,
yeah.
you know, but like, yeah. what are things that you guys are finding that are helping? And maybe if there are things you wish you could be doing that, but that you're not able to, cause you don't have the time or the mm-hmm. mental or physical energy.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had time to get my nails done, my hair done. but one thing that I love to do is to just like get up and like go. So like the other night I was kind of just stuck. I was trying to like treatment plan and nothing was coming to me and I just felt so overwhelmed. So like me and my fiance just got up and went to go get like burgers and fries. Like just get up and just go and not even think about it. Because at the end of the day, I am kind of like going above and beyond by planning for the following week. So at the end of the day, I don't need to be doing that. So when I'm realizing that it's too much and I'm just like overextending myself, I need to just put it down and do something else. Mm-hmm. And that really helps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you could spend 5 hours trying to figure that out and mm-hmm. then not be happy with it, mm-hmm. or go take 30 minutes or an hour, go do something else and come back, and then all of a sudden you have a fresh mind, mm-hmm. or at least a fresher mind, yeah. where you're like, oh, okay, there's a little sense of clarity, mm-hmm. now I got it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I love that idea. I think that's great. Mm-hmm.
I definitely try to do something similar. If I'm sitting there and it's just the words aren't coming to me or the ideas aren't coming to me, I just say to my boyfriend, like, let's get up, let's just go take a walk or go get some food or do mm-hmm. something else for a couple minutes and then I'll come back to it. And kind of the same thing, if I'm having difficulty, I'll just email or I'll message my supervisor that however much of my notes are complete at this time, I'm still working on the other part. And that way she knows I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I email her by the correct time what I've done so far, and that I'm still working on the rest, and she knows mm-hmm. that it'll be done by the morning time, but just kind of giving her that update of what my progress is at that time. Mm-hmm. And then I just say, okay, let me take a second, and that way I can give myself 30 minutes and then get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you just said there, because I think that's super, super important, because having that open communication is just pivotal. And mm-hmm. I think we've touched on this multiple times throughout our episodes, especially between you and your supervisor. So then they know where you're at, mm-hmm. you know, because it's very easy for a supervisor to sit there and be like, why isn't my student doing this? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they thinking about it? Why isn't it done? Mm-hmm. And for then the supervisor to get kind of frustrated, get mad, get upset, like whatever it is, but they just don't know that you are working on it because you didn't tell them. And so I think that's fantastic. It's like, hey, I've done this so far. I need a little break. This is where I'm at, just so you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then all of a sudden it's not, why aren't they doing it? It's like, oh yeah, I know they're working on mm-hmm. it. She'll get it to me in the next hour, mm-hmm. a couple hours by morning, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that way, if there's something she wants to sign off on and send it in, then she can at least do half of it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or she at least knows that's where, then, or get a better idea of just how long things are taking me to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's nice for her to realize as well, because obviously it takes a supervisor who's experienced and has been practicing a lot less time than students. Mm-hmm. So kind of gauging that idea of, okay, this is about how long it's taking for her to do these notes. Maybe you could say more about this too as a supervisor. Maybe she could adjust her expectations or do whatever with that understanding. I don't know.
Yeah. And also not just from a time perspective, but also like, well, what is it that they're struggling with? What is mm-hmm. it? What is making it harder for them?
Yeah.
Maybe we need to have a discussion about, is it coming up with the plan? Is it documenting this specific treatment of something that was going mm-hmm. on, and really trying to figure out where the difficulty is mm-hmm. and then having a conversation or talking about it mm-hmm. and trying to address what is causing it to be more mm-hmm. difficult, something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, I think both of those are really valid, mm-hmm. really good strategies mm-hmm. to help with the self-care, but then also with that expectations and that communication between yourself and your supervisor. I'm going to pull it out because both of you mentioned going out with your fiance, boyfriend, mm-hmm. utilizing other people within your community mm-hmm. to that aren't there. Neither one of them are in the OT field.
No.
So you guys are getting a complete, a complete separation.
Yeah.
But also going about it that way and utilizing mm-hmm. other people to kind of distract or at least get you to think about something else
yes.
mm-hmm. in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And how yeah. do you feel like that works for you guys? Whether you're doing something or just talking with somebody else, not about OT.
I feel like it works. Even sometimes I still have to be present and pull myself into the moment and not, mm-hmm. Withdraw. And, sometimes I'm even, on our way to get food or whatever. I'm on my phone, on Pinterest, or on Google, mm-hmm. looking at more ideas. So sometimes it works. But I have to just put my, phone away and just talk. And, that helps. Not mm-hmm. even, just be present. I think mm-hmm. that helps a lot.
Yeah. No, I definitely think the best thing that my boyfriend said is, okay, no, just no talking about field. And I said, you're right. Or he'll be like, what are you doing? Are you looking up articles? Stop doing that. Just having someone be like, take a break,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think also what could be really beneficial is like, all right, you get 2 minutes. Talk about, within mm-hmm. HIPAA compliance, talk about yeah. what you can talk about.
Right.
Get whatever it is that you need to get off your chest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we're moving on.
Yeah.
Right.
And whoever it is, boyfriend, mom, whatever, yeah. I'll listen to you. They might not know what to say. Mm-hmm. My husband's always like, I don't deal with any of that. All right. He just lets me talk. Mm-hmm. I vent. I get things off. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I don't have to think about that anymore right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's move on mm-hmm. and do something else that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Any other self-care things that you guys are doing outside of field work?
Nope.
We're shaking our heads. No.
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 I feel like we should make shirts and it says eat, sleep, breathe, field work.
I know.
And it's so funny because we're always talking to our patients saying, are you doing your home exercise program? Why aren't you doing your home exercise program? Or, things like that.
Yeah.
And then I feel almost kind of a little bit hypocritical at that point because I'm not doing that, but I'm expecting them to. I mean, granted, we have totally different situations and, they're not doing this fieldwork experience, of course, but it's just, it feels a little funny to say and ask people when I'm not really doing that
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting fact that you just brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's just a student internship type thing. Because
mm-hmm.
I know as a practitioner, there are plenty of things that I should be doing. And it's like, nope, I got to get this work done. And I'm stressed out beyond belief, but I can't do anything else until
mm-hmm.
I get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And really having that awareness to come back and say, hold on a second. You're talking to your patient. If you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to get here.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not doing that. You know you need to do it. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And then reflect on yourself of like, I know I need to be doing these other activities
mm-hmm.
that will help me in the long run. Why am I not doing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky to think about. And I've tried to think about that to myself and think, why am I not getting up and going to the gym before, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I think I keep giving myself the excuse, like, okay, I have so many more weeks and then I'll get back to it. Or I have so many more weeks, I just gotta finish this and then I can get back to it. So I think that's what I'm telling myself, which isn't probably the best thing to say.
I know, I'm telling myself the same thing. I'm saying, I know you love food and food is like helping you cope with this, but you're gonna get back in shape in a few weeks, I promise.
Yeah.
So I want you guys to think about the future right now, mm-hmm. all right? Because it's great. You guys have 12 weeks. You have to get through this experience. But pretty soon, you're going to be out practicing. Mm-hmm. Then what? Mm-hmm. You're talking to me. I don't have 2 more weeks and then I'm done.
Yeah. Right.
You
know? Yeah.
I have the rest of my career ahead of me. And I'm one that completely struggles with time management and doing the things that I should be doing, I want to be doing, doing things outside of work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you guys say to me? Well, I'm totally putting you guys on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think back to the time when I took some time off before going to OT school, and I worked a ton. I worked a couple jobs, and I had myself a schedule, and that was just what I did, and I stuck to that schedule no matter what. So I'd go to one job, I would take this class at this time every day or mm-hmm. every other day, and then I would go home and then I would go to my next job, and that was just my schedule and my routine, and that's how I did it, and I just stuck to it, and there wasn't any sort of, okay, like, I'm not gonna make it to this class, okay, well, I'm have this to do, whatever. I don't know, I think that was kind of the big thing for me. And I guess also those two jobs, I didn't have work to do outside of work. Yeah. Even though I was tired, I didn't have to, there weren't things that I had to do when I got home. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a little bit easier. And then maybe just sticking to a schedule and a routine. Mm-hmm. Because once you start saying, okay, no, I'm not going to do it today. Oh, I'm not going to do it tomorrow. And then it just kind of spirals. And then it's been 3 weeks and you haven't done it. So I don't know. That was kind of how I stuck to it. And then I get to see the difference now being in school and having the intentions of doing it. And then it just not working out.
Yeah. I concur.
I'm looking for any sort of advice because I definitely deal with that myself. And I feel like sometimes I'm good, I'm on top of everything, I'm getting my work done, I feel mm-hmm. great, I'm exercising, I'm eating well. And other times I'm at like the bottom of the barrel, like scraping myself off the bottom, mm-hmm. trying to get back up, like trying to do good work, trying to get all of my work done, and then other things get loaded on top of it, mm-hmm. that my diet goes downhill, that I'm not exercising, I'm not sleeping, and as you can tell now, you know where I've been the last, like, 3 weeks, and I'm starting to kind of, like, get out of it a little bit. But I think what you guys are doing is great right now, but really try to, like, think about it in the future. When you have to be dealing with this long-term, mm-hmm. or longer-term, I should say, mm-hmm. how would you cope with that? Because you can't just say, I'm not going to do it because I only have 12 weeks. You've got to start integrating it. And I'm saying you. I'm not pointing fingers at you guys. I'm saying everybody.
Right.
You know, I'm saying you is generally mm-hmm. anybody that's a student. Even if you're not an OT, you have to learn how to balance everything, and then starting that career mm-hmm. of integrating life, career, and having that balance as well.
Yeah, I think scheduling it in, like if you're writing your work hours or whatever on this schedule, and then scheduling in a time like this class, this time. If you like to take classes at the gym, I think that's kind of the best way to go about mm-hmm. it. If you schedule yourself in advance, mm-hmm. oftentimes there's like a no-show fee or like a cancellation fee, and so then you're mm-hmm. so then there's kind of that extra motivation of mm-hmm. okay, I can't cancel, I have to go, mm-hmm. otherwise I'm gonna get charged extra. I don't know, I found that would work for me.
Yeah, and I think kind of what you're saying there is accountability.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So whether it is a gym at a class and it's a monetary accountability, uh-huh. but maybe even, you know, again, going back, reaching out to your community, reaching out to your circle of like, mm-hmm. okay, you talk to your best friend, hey, I need to do 30 minutes or an hour every week of something. Will you be my accountability partner for that?
Oh, that's,
you
know, that's like, good.
Let's go like have a walk. Let's mm-hmm. go for a run. Let's go get coffee. Let's go get a massage. Like, whatever it is that you feel like you need, let's go punching bags. What do you call
that? Boxing.
Yeah. You know, like, go let some aggression out.
Yeah.
Go surfing. Go I'm trying to think of things that are not California-centric here, you know, but, like, go do something else and really having somebody hold you accountable for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I keep looking, I'm like, hey, I don't want to interrupt you.
No. Yeah, no. You're like, I got, because I really don't know the answer, and it's hard because right now it's so hard, so I can't even imagine when I start working what it's going to be like and how much extra time I'm going to be putting into it and what time I'll have for myself. It's really hard to imagine, so I don't know right now.
Yeah, but I think it's something really important to think about on top of everything else that you're thinking about. Here I am, like, hey, think about your future self, you know, and, like, what's going to happen. But, again, like, knowing your mindset, knowing everything that's going on at this one moment, and then applying that 5 years out, a year out, 10 years out, anything like that.
I know. It's so tough. Right now, like, I have no time for anything, so it's really tough.
Trust me. I know. I know. Like, there are times that I'm like, a constant phrase, and I absolutely hate it, but I'm constantly saying, I do not have time to do that. I do not have time to do that. I do not have time to do that. I'm so busy. And it's, clearly, it's an excuse, you know, because I have the same amount of time that Rochelle has, that Maya has, that our significant others have, that our parents have, that our friends have. We all have the same amount of time per day.
Yeah, sure.
We can't think of it that we don't have enough. We have to learn to, like, prioritize and figure out how to make the most of the time that we're given.
Right.
And I don't have the answers.
Oh, I think I have something. What works for me a lot of the time is getting off of social media, turning off the television. So I actually go back and forth. Sometimes I delete my, like, Instagram or my Facebook app. I'll, like, delete the app on my phone. And that really helps with, like, you have nothing else to do. Do your work. Like, there's literally no excuse. That helps a lot. And it also helps me kind of stay sane, because it's really difficult to go online and see my friends. Like, my sister right now is in Amsterdam, so it helps me stay sane and just say, like, you know, this is your experience right now. Don't compare it to anybody else or what they're doing. Do your work and get through it, and then you'll be in Amsterdam yourself.
I think those are two really, really good points that I want to, like, talk about a little bit more. First, that social media piece. Mm-hmm. Or, actually, I should just say any sort of passive entertainment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether it's TV, whether it's social media, and unplugging and detaching yourself from that. I've never done it. I've wanted to. Well, want, quote unquote. I'm afraid to, because I've wanted to track and see, like, how much time I spend on everything that I do per day. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that some of those little things, like opening Facebook, or I don't really watch all that much TV, but I probably would be watching more than I think that I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of afraid to see what I actually spend all of my time on, and, like, how it breaks down. Uh-huh. I also am afraid that I probably spend way too much time on work. and really seeing those numbers. But that's huge. If you don't have time, figure out what you're spending your time on. Mm-hmm. And figuring out what adds value to your life, what you need. Mm-hmm. If you need 5 minutes to go on Instagram, perfect. That's what you need. But if you don't need it, why are you spending the 5 minutes on something that isn't helping you when you could have spent 5 minutes taking a walk around your place or grabbing a glass of cold water and just, like, breathing for 10 seconds or whatever it is? The other thing that specifically when it comes to social media to keep in mind, and I feel like I'm kind of going off on a random tangent, but I'll roll with it, is the way that social media is set up is that you're going to be seeing the best, the highlight reel of everybody's life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you are at your best, it's like, oh, great. Well, look at my life. Look at their life. Like, oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But when you're not, when you're going through something stressful, you're going through something emotional, you don't have the time, you're everything, you feel like your life is crumbling, even though it's not, but you're feeling like you're at the bottom, and then all of a sudden you see your sister at Amsterdam, and you're just like, why isn't that me? I want to be doing that. And that is really hard to see when you are not at your best and you're not happy and you're not, or when you're stressed, I should say. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, exactly.
You could potentially be killing two birds with one stone if like eliminating the negativity that you instill by seeing somebody else doing something that you wish that you could be doing, but then also utilizing that time for a more positive experience or something more valuable experience that you need for your life that moment.
No, definitely. I agree. I think that throughout this experience, I really haven't spent that much time on my phone just because when I get home, I've got other stuff to do. I can't really just sit there and passively start looking at things. And I feel like I feel a lot better, actually. I'm not just sitting there watching people's highlight reels, like you said. Yeah. Because when I start doing that and I notice other classmates as well doing fun things and I think, oh man, their experience, their summer must be going really great. What the heck, you know? Mm-hmm. But I really haven't had a ton of time to do that. And I think that's been good, actually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of go back. On our last episode, we really kind of hashed out the midterm and what it looked like, what it felt like to go through it. But I'd like to go back and reflect on maybe kind of the main things that you guys felt like you needed to work on. And now that it's been a couple more weeks, where you feel like you're at currently with those areas of growth. So Maya, I know you had mentioned, and we had a big conversation last time about the notes and the documentation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw it to you first.
Yeah, so I think that I've really improved with my notes. And I'm saying this because now I no longer send them. Like I said earlier, I no longer send them to my CI, but I'm able to put them directly into the database. Mm-hmm. And even the feed, so I put them in and then she still has to co-sign on them. And so the feedback that I've been getting now is like, you know, everything is like the clinical reasoning makes sense. Everything is on the right track. There's just like, just some editing of like maybe over explaining like an activity, but other than that, she's saying that I'm like improving on it. It's just like long. And I think that might be a thing with like new therapists or students in general is that they're very long and it's hard to get straight to the point. And I feel the need sometimes to over explain like what I'm doing to make sense of it for whoever the reader is. But
I'm going to jump in. So yeah, like basically consolidating.
Yes.
And I think too, and I know I went through this and I see students that I've had in the past going through school, you're taught to like write like a novel. You're taught to write a story. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to notes, you want to put the most important things, whatever it is, it's this, this, and this, and that's it. Yes. And it's very much, you have to kind of retrain your mind to not elaborate and to not get lengthy and just completely consolidate it to the most important material.
Yes, because before, if I did 8 activities, I would explain every activity. So now one thing that I've learned is if I'm working on like 2 activities that are addressing the same thing, to consolidate it and say, throughout the session worked on hand strength activities and they demonstrated X, Y, and Z, as opposed to saying, this was the first hand strength activity, this was the second one, this was the third one. So that's one way that I'm like consolidating them and making more sense of it. And so I think I'm improving and it's helping me and I'm not taking 45 minutes anymore.
Yeah, so you're decreasing the time spent so then you have, well, allegedly have more time to do other things that you're not focused on just the documentation. But I think a big thing that I want to highlight with kind of what you just said, and this is such kind of a pivotal foundational framework skill of OT, is independence. Now you're putting your notes directly into that database. Mm-hmm. You have graduated in that sense where you don't have to, I mean, your supervisor is still reviewing them, as I am doing for my students. You know, we always have to co-sign, right? But you are now have that independence, you have that confidence that they're like, hey, you're going directly into that system. And what that minimal step of independence does to your confidence.
Oh my goodness.
It's huge.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm like, oh, look at me. I want everybody to see me on the website.
Watch me hit enter. So, Rochelle, what we had talked about last time as kind of one of your main areas that you felt like you wanted to improve upon was really that occupation-based treatment ideas and tying in occupation within your treatment activities. So how do you feel like everything is going?
I think it's been going much better than at the midterm. I think that as I've gotten to know people more, I get to understand a little bit more about what they like to do, some of their interests, what they want to be able to get back to doing, and also getting to do a lot of progress notes that kind of that conversation kind of comes up because you know you're asking, what do you feel like are your gains that you've made here in therapy? Where do you want to go next? What are some of your goals? So I've gotten to know people better, even just talking to them or trying to take maybe, you know, if we're doing some sort of exercise, asking that, like just chatting with them and saying, oh, is there something else that you want to be able to be doing maybe for next time? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've gotten to incorporate a lot more occupation that people want to do. I mean, even one person, we sat down and we made a list of a couple of some things that he wants to be able to do. And we talked about, you know, that being kind of the guiding framework for his next few sessions. So mm-hmm. I think that's been going well.
Yeah, it almost sounds like having kind of an increased familiarity with your clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I feel like that's with more experience. All of a sudden, you're becoming more familiar with your clients. And do you feel like now, as opposed to even just a couple weeks ago, maybe you know more appropriate or more pointed questions to get the information that you need to base your treatment plans off of, the activities off mm-hmm. of?
Yeah, definitely. I think that as you start doing things with people, you can kind of look and see how they move, and you kind of get to know a little bit more, definitely through the progress, and it's too about what their, you know, self-care looks like at home, or ADLs, IDLs, activities they like to do, hobbies, interests. You get kind of a clearer picture of what it looks like, and then you can ask those questions of, oh, we did this last time, how did that go? Okay, what was the trouble then? And then that way you can kind of start to problem solve together. So usually a lot of times activities naturally lead into other things as well. So mm-hmm. with one person, you're working on picking up things and putting them on the shelf or taking things down from a shelf. Oh, now you realize with those food containers, now it's you had difficulty opening them once you got them down. Mm. So then that kind of naturally leads into something else. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I found that has been, and I've been able to more specifically ask, what were your troubles with this? Did you do this?
Right. Yeah.
Versus so, just, what do you want to do next time? Because that can be so different. I mean, and even with one person, I had this conversation of, what is OT? You know, because he kind of didn't even really quite understand what it was. And I said, you've been coming here for, you know, how long? Hmm. But they kind of just had the impression that with PT, they were working on lower extremities, with OT, working on upper extremities. And so then I was kind of chatting with him and saying, you know, well, you told me you like to play catch with your family. Like, we can do that next time. So, you know, get kind of having that conversation of what can I help you with, or I'm not just helping you strengthen your arms. That's not all it is.
Yeah. I really value what you just said there of like, what is OT? And I'd like to take a minute right now of like, within the last 10 weeks or so, how has your understanding of OT, occupational therapy,
mm-hmm.
how has it changed? How has it solidified in ways? Like, what is it meaning to you guys right now?
I think that it's definitely solidified, you know, the whole meaningful occupation kind of based thing of being able to help people do things that they want to do again. But I think also my definition has changed a little bit in terms of getting to see people come in with different diagnoses and what that means. So looking at, you know, somebody that's had a spinal cord injury that's relatively permanent. I know there's all sorts of different with complete versus incomplete, things like that, but relatively things are going to pretty much stay kind of the same. So looking at it of doing things differently so that people can do what they want to do versus somebody who's had a stroke and you can see return and you're just kind of different approaches. So that's kind of been the biggest difference I've thought of, really seeing the different approaches that OTs take, because you can learn it in school and you can hear, oh, OTs help people with meaningful occupation, self-care, a theory, but getting into it and actually like, okay, what's my approach going to be in intervening? Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what's changed for me.
For me, I'm seeing how impactful it is for not only the children, but the families. And it's a big deal. And also, I think it's a big deal to let parents know that you are not doing anything wrong. Like, I think a lot of them kind of want answers and they want to know, like, what am I doing? Like, but I think it's a really good opportunity to educate them and let them know you're on the right track. Like, these things are working. And look, you brought them here. Like you already are doing the right thing. But I noticed that with a lot of families, there is difficulty. So it's not just about being able to don a shirt. It's like, it's way deeper than that. And I think that's what I'm learning now, like helping the families out and even allowing them to be able to go to like a restaurant without like dysregulation occurring, or giving them strategies. And I think that's what I'm learning. It's like, it's way bigger than just like, hey, this kid is dysregulated, you know, give them a Chewy. It's like, no, can they go to their families out? Can they ride, get on an airplane and go to like see their family? And can they like just, I don't know. I think it's like way bigger than what I thought it was. Like, and in the beginning, I would just look at the progress notes and look at their charts and say, okay, I'm just going to do this. And then hopefully it fixes that. But I'm realizing that it's like bigger than those like tiny issues. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like a lot of times we're talking about very specific things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like I know in the last episode, we were talking about shaving or putting on socks and mm-hmm. shoes, brushing your teeth, anything like that, where we're talking about very specific occupation. But really, the guiding framework is that overarching life.
Yeah.
And being able to engage in life and do the things that you want to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that's actually really cool, Maya, that you're starting to see this bigger, this deeper understanding of what occupation is and how it pertains to life.
Mm-hmm.
And going outside of just the client,
mm-hmm.
and looking at the parents, if yeah. you're in pediatrics, or if it's with adults, it could be a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
It still could be parents. It mm-hmm. could be maybe a significant yeah. other.
Spouse, kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about like their sister or brother? Mm-hmm. Like it could be somebody like that, where it's not just getting our client back to where they want to be, but also allowing them to be a part of their family, a part of their community. Mm-hmm. I keep going back to this community yeah. piece for ourselves, but also think about that in terms of our patients and our clients
mm-hmm.
and really being able to be a part of that community
yeah.
and how a disruption in an occupation or an injury or something like that would cause them not to be able to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's cool, and I know in school, the professors and the universities are all trying to get you to get your elevator pitch of, like, what is OT, that you can just, like, ramble it off. And for me, it's really interesting to hear how you guys are starting to kind of tailor and change and adapt your understanding now that you're seeing it kind of out in practice and
mm-hmm.
having a different perspective and a different awareness of it. Yeah, I actually, this happened yesterday. Myself and my two students, we went and saw a client, and this was the second time that we had gone in, but the first time, like, the kid didn't even want to be in the room with us. So we didn't get a great read on, like, really what was going on. And my students did a brilliant job. They co-treated the session, like, everything was great. And then afterwards, we got back in the car, and we're talking, and I was like, hey, guys, like, what's going on? Tell me what you saw. What are you thinking? Like, what's going on with this case? They're very aware, and they were able to pinpoint very specific things with the kid. And I was like, okay, next week, what do we need to focus on? And they're like, oh, well, we need to do this, and we need to do this. Like, everything was very directed at the kid. And I remember sitting there, and I'm like, this is great, but there's more to this picture. What do we need to focus on? And then finally, they're like, the parent. We need to provide more education, more, you know, more learning opportunity, more knowledge for the parent to make the bigger changes. And it was having this shift of, like, it's not just our clients that we're working with, it's also the people that are in their lives.
Exactly. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we work with them for an hour. For us, it's 45 minutes or 50 minutes a week. And it's the parents who we really need to get on board and get them to understand what's going on so that they can carry it over. And we really see the changes in the long run.
Definitely. That's the same thing for my situation too. We see you once a week, maybe twice a week for 45 minutes, and that's all.
Yeah, guys, there's been a lot to think about here. I think we really touched on some very valuable tips, things for other people to consider, but also just kind of hashing out the reality of what it's like to be a student going through field work and trying to process everything that's going on. Again, thank you guys for being here. This has been another wonderful experience.
Thank you.
And thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to say thanks for listening to today's episode. If you want to further the discussion, go to our website, otforlife.com, and join our Facebook group. If you like us, here are three easy ways to let us know.
One, share our podcast with a friend, colleague, or anyone interested in occupational therapy. Two, leave us a review on iTunes or anywhere this podcast is found. Three, subscribe to us so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. Thanks again. We'll catch you next time, OT for Lifers.